Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and World Cup fever is gripping Boston.
It is constantly on at home. The kids have, they made these little bracket sheets, and they're crossing off and editing. There's been some exciting upsets.
Boston Mayor Michelle Wu there telling us about her own family's love affair with the Global Soccer Tournament here on the show earlier this week. Meanwhile, teams from all around the world, including Team USA, drawing crowds to bars across the city and region. Sound there from USA-Iran match as watched at the Phoenix Landing Bar in Cambridge. So let's dive beneath the headlines of men's World Cup fever here in the Commonwealth with Boston Globe sports contributor Frank Dellapa. Frank, welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, good to be here.
So remind me, Frank, how long have you been covering soccer now?
Okay, too long, really. I started at the Globe in the 80s, basically, before the 1994 World Cup came to Boston and the U.S.,
so I do want to note, 94 coming back in 2026, and we'll talk about that. But this means you have the long view. So we've got this interesting men's team, USA, here this year, making big headlines here across the Commonwealth abroad. Why are they capturing people's imagination?
Okay, I just think it's a different era than it was in 94. There's just so much more awareness. I mean, all the young people, and the mainstream media now understands, what this tournament is. It's the biggest sporting event in the world. It's actually bigger than the Olympics, with literally billions of people watching it and that sort of thing. And the other thing is, this is kind of a young U.S. team that's having some success. The players are playing in Europe, too, so people get to watch them every week. Playing in the Premier League and Serie A in Italy and that sort of thing. And so you kind of know these guys. The average age of the team is like 24, the starting team. So that also kind of captures the imagination. It's a young team, bright future, and they're looking pretty good. They got to the second round.
So 24 average age for the starters, 25 overall. A lot of people may watch sports where there's lots of young players. So put in perspective, how young is this, Frank, for a soccer team?
Yeah, I think, that's not ideal to be that young. The teams that win the World Cup usually average like 27, 20 guys right in the peak of their careers, of their physical ability and that sort of thing. This is a team that's really built for the future. You mentioned earlier, Tiziana, that the next World Cup 2026 will be in the U.S. This team is really built for that one. That's when they're really going to shine. They should. But this is, they're playing with house money now. No matter what they do, it's a success, and they can only get great experience.
So I'm going to play a little sound here. Producer Andrea Perdomo Hernandez spoke with Kevin Trainer, who's a owner of the Phoenix Landing Club in Cambridge, talking about the inspiration from this team.
I think their doggedness and, they're underdogs. And they're not showing any fear for a young team. You know, it's amazing at 24 years, 23 years old, Even the old guy, Tim Reams, is playing out of his skin. Like, we've only let in one goal.
Okay, so I'm going to take issue with calling Tim Reams old at 35. Nevertheless, this underdog thing is real. We're pretty used to that with the U.S. men's team, right, Frank?
Right. Yeah, they've always sort of had that role. But I think to be accurate, and I'm kind of writing about this for the Globe, is the U.S. was actually favored in the first round in two of those games. So they kind of had that mentality and the image of an underdog. But now they truly are the underdog. Going into this game against the Netherlands, they're big underdogs in this game. And that mentality is going to serve them well. But nobody's expecting that. I think the bookmakers expected the U.S. to actually advance in the first round. Nobody's expecting them to get past the Dutch, though.
And the Dutch are potentially one of the favorites to win the whole thing.
Yeah, the Dutch are always a favorite to at least get to the final. They've made it there three times. They've never won it. So they kind of self-destruct or something happens, but they're always, they expect to get to the final. They expect to beat the U.S. or whoever's in their way in these next two games and get to the final. At that point, they probably won't win it, but the U.S. is just happy just to get through the first round. It's hard to get through the first round and get to the quarterfinals. The U.S. has only done it once. That was in 2002 when they were actually coached by Bruce Arena, who's now the coach of the Revolution, the New England Revolution. But it's only happened once in 90 years. So if they can get past this game, that would be a huge upset.
So we're talking about the World Cup with Frank Dellapa, who is with the Boston Globe. He's Boston Globe sports contributor. We reached out to our texting club to join that texting club. You send the word Boston to 617-766-0382. That's Boston to 617-766-0382. Lots of people with lots of thoughts. So Yolette and Randolph said, while I'm not a big soccer fan, I must admit it's exciting to see this team reach the World Cup. I love sports events that bring people from different backgrounds together to cheer on the home team. I don't think Boston will ever be a soccer city, but it's becoming more and more popular here. I thought that was interesting because our same producer, Andrea Perdomo Hernandez, spoke to Evan Cipriano, who's part of the Boston chapter of the American Outlaws fan club. He says Boston is a soccer community.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Boston is a soccer city, regardless of how you want to chalk it up. You know, you go out on a Saturday morning, you're going to see bars packed for Premier League games, whether it's, you know, Phoenix Landing and Cambridge, Liverpool fans or what have you. Like, people love this sport in this city.
So Greater Boston has people from Guatemala, Brazil, Vietnam, Canada, Cape Verde, all soccer-loving countries, more. So are we or are we not ripe for an experiencing world soccer with real love here?
Yeah, I think so. I think the ratings, the Boston ratings and national ratings on the last couple of U.S. games were really high, if you want to go by that. But like I think was just pointed out, if you go out on Sunday morning at 7 a.m., into Back Bay or into Dorchester, you will see, or to Cambridge, bars packed with people watching these games, soccer games, not just Boston. You go out to the suburbs, too. So, I mean, there's a huge history for the game here. I'm not sure it's always been recognized by everybody, but, you know, it's not just ethnic, too. You look at all the university students coming in from everywhere. All the young people growing up with the game and playing the game now, too. It's just part of the culture now, I think, and it's part of the fabric. And so I think having the Revolution not playing in the city and not having a stadium for soccer in the city makes it seem like it's not present there, but it really is in Boston.
So, Frank, one of our listeners, Bernadette in Arlington, said, very excited, we'll be watching Saturday. Soccer's not taken as seriously in the U.S. as football or soccer is in the rest of the world. It's an international sport of choice. Go USA. 10 a.m. Saturday morning, in our last minute or so, people who might be watching for their first time, what should they watch for in the USA-Netherlands game?
Okay, I think the U.S. so far has played pretty defensively, you know, but now they have nothing to lose. So I think they're going to come out and really just try to take it to the Dutch and play a little more attacking soccer, too. And the Dutch, their mentality is, we're not backing down from anybody. We're going to play offensively and try to – it's going to be a wide-open game. I think it'll be really good to watch. There's a lot of tension. You know, it's going to go down to the end. Could go into extra time, too. So maybe penalty kicks. So I would say watch it as a sports fan. You're going to watch a game that should be wide open with two teams, you know, just willing to take chances and go for it.
Because whoever loses in the knockout rounds, all the games that start Saturday, you lose, you're gone, right?
Yeah, you lose, you're gone. Like they say in Argentina, it's win or die. But it's not quite that serious with the U.S. It's win or go home. So you have to win or that's it.
All right. We have been speaking with Frank Dellapa, who's a longtime sport writer for the Boston Globe, a soccer super fan. And can I safely assume that you're going to be rooting for Team USA on Saturday, or do you try to stay neutral, Frank?
Well, I try to stay neutral. What I like about soccer is I watch any game and I kind of go in with my favorites and this and that. But then once the game starts, you kind of see who you like. Whoever's playing better that day, and you know, whoever looks like they're doing the right things, that's what I'm going to root for.
All right, Frank, thanks so much.
Okay, thanks. Good to be with you.
You too.